I see in that song that the angels sing. Is that right? Do angels sing? Well, hopefully we'll see today. Our study this morning will be on principalities and powers. And I come to this today because of what I see going on in the world situation. It's obvious that with ISIS and all the things that are going on around the world, that there's a lot of evil present. And it's important for us to understand that this evilness does exist. And it has to do with principalities and angels in high places. And while the angelic ministry and rule deals a great deal with Israel and the kingdom, once you pass into the realm of the mystery, our current dispensation, the angels are either ignored or they're for some reason pretty much set aside, and principalities and powers take their place in importance. These principalities and powers are actually chief above angels. They have some part of the hierarchy of the spiritual world. The Greek word for principality is arch, A-R-C-H-E. And the translation of that word in Scripture is really pretty strange. 40 times it's translated beginning, though sometimes it's translated principality. 40 times beginning, 8 times it's translated principalities, once it's translated rule, once it's translated first, once it's translated first estate, and that's all the places that it's ever seen in Scripture. So the idea of a first or a former authority begins to take shape. And it was not at Genesis 1:3, unless, of course, there were earlier creations, because the angels themselves were created. So today I want to look at these principalities and powers, because they're obviously there. They still exist today. They have influence today, good or bad. Sometimes good, sometimes bad. So turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Beginning with verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher power. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers or teachers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. Here we see earthly delegated authority and higher rule. And they're not independent of something that God ordained in the beginning. Earthly delegated authority is a shadow of the spiritual world. Unfortunately, some of it's bad, yet some of it is good. Example, and you all will recall this, if you remember when we were studying the book of Daniel in the 10th chapter, there was an instance in there in Persia and Greek, there was a prince that was mighty enough to hold back for 21 days the messenger from an angel. And if you remember, angels, one of their primary functions is as a messenger in the Old Testament and through Israel. But whoever this principality was, whoever this power was, he could withhold this angel. The angel tried 21 days to deliver the message, and he couldn't do it. And finally, eventually, Michael, the archangel, had to step in and to help this that this message be delivered by this hierophant or by this angel. And then, if you recall, he explains that that's what they, Israel, will be faced up against in the latter days. And that is us as well. This evil, whatever this is, this principalities and powers that exist, some believe God, some don't. Some are good, some are not. That's what we face as well. The sinister world power is built into the very fabric of Paul's epistles. Paul addresses this over and over again, save one of his epistles. He says nothing about it in the book of Philemon. But he's constantly addressing this in his scriptures. And so today I want to bring forth, for your thinking, I want to look at 13 different scriptures that speak of these foes, these powers that be. And thereby, I think we'll find a bit of information about what they are, who they are, where they are, what we can expect out of them in the future. So first, turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, page 1790. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 18. Therefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once again, but Satan hindered us. So there's the most basic statement, that Satan was against Paul. He stood in his way. He is there. And he stands in our way as well. Frustrating Paul's ministry. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, page 1745. Here's one of the ways that he was buffeted. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Paul says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Satan is a being. He is something. He is an angel. He has powers. Second, look at, let's go back again to 2 Thessalonians instead of 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul again speaking. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity, or the mystery of evil, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Eventually, Christ will see to it that these powers good or bad, will be dealt with. I think that's where we find today a lot of the lawlessness, a lot of the evil as a result of this spiritual world, these spiritual beings. They're on point of the rebellion that we find today in our world. Another place where Paul points to this is Galatians chapter 3, page 1754. Galatians chapter 3, 4, excuse me, chapter 4, verse 3. Galatians chapter 4, verse 3. Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage until the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Bondage. People today, even in the world, are still under bondage because there's this evilness that enters into the human race to put other people in slavery, to kill, to maim. It's there. You can't deny it. Colossians chapter 2. And I've just picked out 13 of these. There's more. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Paul again, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. So there we see that this principality and power falls under Christ, and yet we see other places where they are apparently the hierarchy, the structure within the realm of the angels. And just like all beings, some choose to believe God and some don't. Some are good, some are not. Rulers and bondage and slavery, all of that comes about through this hierarchy that of evilness is there. And there are elements of the world which both Jew and Gentile were held bondage, and which bondage appears to be still the case today. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul here again, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's begin with verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, now look at that, that's not capitalized. In whom the God is not capitalized, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. We see this is still going on today. Satan is standing in the way of us, trying to keep us from believing, or trying to keep us from understanding God's purpose and plan. Paul points out that there is the God of this age who has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that they might not behold the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. And it's not done in necessarily those things which are evil. there's nothing wrong with sports. There's nothing wrong with entertainment and music and so forth, except that it can stand in the way if you allow it to become something that's more important than trying to determine or believing what God says. That's what's evil about it. It's not evil in itself, but it's used in an evil way. Number five, I'd point out, Ephesians chapter 2, page 1762. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. Where in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. There it is again. The spirit, evil, standing in the way of men, Satan, this battle that exists throughout the ages between evil, Satan, and Christ. It goes on and on. There is the rule of authority of the air, who is described as a spirit that now worketh among those of disobedience. The sixth one, the scripture that I would point out for your thinking, is Acts chapter 7. Paul didn't write this, but it still addressed the same issue. Acts chapter 7. Verse 53. Who have received the law by the disposition of angels. The angels were the messengers, and have not kept it. Here we see this disobedience, this that exists. There's other verses there you may want to read before and afterwards, but he's referring to the same thing. They received, and the law was administered unto them, but there was something that kept them, something that kept the nation of Israel from accepting what God was saying and trying to do with them. The seventh scripture I'd point out for you is Colossians chapter 2 with regard to this subject. Colossians chapter 2, page 1784. Beginning with verse 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly and triumphing over them in it. So we know the end results. Ultimately, these principalities and powers will either fall into what Christ has done or they will not. Paul addresses that same in Ephesians. Back up in your Bibles a couple pages to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And we've discussed this before, but that verse, according to Dr. Bullinger and Mr. Welts and Mr. Baker, we should read that verse like this. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against spiritual wickedness in high places, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, standing in your way. Let me read it again. It's the first phrase and the last phrase that are put together, and then the middle phrase at the end. And you say, well, why is it not that way? Well, you have a lot of leeway when you're trying to translate from Greek into English. In Greek, they don't have words as such. They have phrases or concepts. And so you read this verse, the first phrase, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Then the last phrase, against spiritual wickedness in high places, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. And that's Paul speaking to us directly. Here he's writing to the church of the one body as to who we are dealing with. In spite of the defeat at the cross, these powers are still operative, and we must wrestle with them until that day when they are totally done away with. The ninth scripture I would point out is Romans chapter 8, page 1680. Paul here making reference again to these principalities and powers in chapter 8, verses 38. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come shall separate us from the love of God. These things do not have to have power over us, particularly if you're aware of it and you understand that they have been defeated on our behalf. These powers still hold creation in bondage, but to fatality, though they cannot separate us from the love of God. The whole purpose and plan has not been consummated yet. The tenth scripture I would point out is 1 Corinthians chapter 15. A couple pages over in your Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 24, then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, and he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy shall be destroyed is death. And we're going to see here in some verses here in a minute how that's done. And what part we actually have in that. Number 11, Colossians 1:16. I guess I should have put these in order so you didn't have to run around back and forth, but I can't help it. I didn't find them in order. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him. This is not, however, Paul's last word on the subject. The rest of the story is they will be eventually done in with totally. Look at the 20th verse in that chapter. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in heaven, be things in earth, or things in heaven. So everything that he created, these principalities and powers, these angels, the earth, all of that eventually fall in or reconciled to him by what he's done at the cross. And we'll see that these principalities and powers, they didn't know. They didn't understand exactly what was to happen. If they would have, they would not have done what they did. The 13th scripture that I would point out is found in Ephesians, back up to the book of Ephesians, a couple pages back. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. This is a surprise. Verse 10 of that third chapter, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. That is unbelievable. That's where the church of the one body fits in somehow to make known to these principalities and powers the wisdom, the manifold wisdom of God. I sometimes can't comprehend what is it that I have that's going to make the manifold wisdom of God to these principalities and powers. When the church of the one body arrives in heaven, what is that that we bring to the table that the principalities and powers don't know about the wisdom of God? It's a good question. Now, I have eight other phenomena about these principalities and powers. And don't forget, they're the chief rulers among the angels. They have, and there's a Greek word that's called suzerainty, S-U-Z-E-R-I-A-I-N-T-Y, suzerainty, translated political power directly, political power. They have political power. They influence politics. If you don't think so, just look at the Democrats and the Republicans. That's one. Strange. Their numbers were that which determined the boundaries of Israel. You don't believe me? Look at Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Verse 8, and when the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. I think I told you, I stated that wrong. When he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. I said angels. Their numbers were that which were determined by the boundaries of Israel. Number three, they were made to worship him. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 6. And again, he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. So they were made to worship him. I told you they could sing. Look at Job chapter 38, page 713 in your Bible. Job chapter 38. Verses 4. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding, who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest, or who hath stretched the line upon it. Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened, or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. So the morning stars were, of course, the angels. They sing. Maybe they don't all sing the right thing. I don't know. When Satan fell, some fell with him. So there's insurrection in these principalities and powers. Insurrection in the ranks of the angels. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 2. Verse 3. And though covetous shall they with vain words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of long time. Am I in the right verse? Let's see. Well, verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. So they, just like we, some chose, they were given a free will. Some chose to believe God. Some chose not. Some chose to follow Satan. Some stayed in their current state. Apparently they're still there in the heavenlies. Some are causing trouble today. Some are not. Anything that God has created seems to have a free will. You can believe him or you cannot believe him. And these angels that did not and fell with Satan have been chained in darkness. They were before Adam. That's what happened in the overthrow in Genesis verses 1, 2, where the earth became without void and form. These are the angels, the insurrections of angels that came and caused what is we know as the catabole, or the overthrow, or the catastrophic event that we've talked about in the world that then was. The angels, the principalities and powers, were behind that. Next, I point out that they have no power in the world to come. We see that in the book of Hebrews, chapter 2 of Hebrews. Chapter 2, verse 5. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. Ultimately, they will no longer be in charge. Who will be in charge? All authority and power goes back to him, ultimately. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 4, we read, "Being made so much better than the angels, as he hath inheritance, obtained a more excellent name than they." So ultimately, all this power and authority comes back in to Christ. Now, they made a fatal mistake in their thinking. Turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I think we looked at this, but we'll look at it again. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Their influence is tremendous upon men. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of the world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." These powers were influencing the princes and the men of high places in political decisions of this world. And if they would have known what the end results would be, they would not have done it, because in the end, it is their demise. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verses 10 to 12, "Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified before the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desired to look into." They were interested in the things of God. They wanted to know what was going on. And they some of them did. Some of them decided, you know, we'll follow along. But others were not interested to the point that they influenced the human race to crucify the prince of power. It makes it clear that ultimately they said, uh-oh, we shouldn't have done that. Not knowing, they sealed their doom not by an exhibition of power, as they like to think they have, that Christ had over death, but by death itself is how they're ultimately done in. God is wiser than man, and his weakness is stronger than man. And it's the same thing with these spiritual beings. So the question is, you say, well, okay, Redmond, how does this relate to us? How does this relate to the church of the one body? Why was these things made known to Paul? Well, one, in Ephesians, turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. These things were made known to Paul in verse 9 of that third chapter, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. All this was revealed to Paul for the church of the one body, for our understanding. And then in the third chapter, verse 10, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. That's what all of this is revealed to us for. That this wisdom that is going to be through the manifold wisdom of God is going to be somehow communicated to these principalities and powers. What is the manifold wisdom of God, by the way? The manifold wisdom of God. The best example I have is what you find on a motor in an automobile. You have the various cylinders and the exhaust comes off and they come into a manifold. They come into something where it collects everything off of all eight cylinders. And it goes together in an exhaust pipe into one exhaust pipe and out the tail. The manifold collects all of that exhaust and takes it out. Does something with it. That's the manifold wisdom of God. That's why we are studying, to show ourselves approved. That's why we have the whole story, the first and the last chapters. That was revealed to Paul later. Israel, the prophets, they didn't know all of it, what we know. We have the whole complete story, the last chapter. And it's through the church of the one body, through the manifold of the church, will this information somehow be communicated to the principalities and powers. When? Upon resurrection of the church of the one body into heavenly places. There's still principalities and powers there in place. They're not all chained in darkness, as we read. And we wrestle today against those in this world. They stand in our way. What are they trying to keep us from doing? They're trying to keep us from learning the manifold witness of God. The manifold wisdom of God. So in the new creation, in the new heaven, in the new earth, there will be one and only one principality, and that will be recognized by God and us. Christ the head, the firstborn from the dead, in all things he will have preeminence. Completeness in a power and authority where he will be all in all and the great purpose of the ages completed. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for the written word, and we're grateful for the understanding that it has, that gives us into your purpose and plan. I just pray that you will continue to guide us as we grow in the grace and the knowledge of what you have given us here. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Okay, Romans chapter 4. What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man, unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness, then, upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also, and the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. For the promise that we should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for there is no law, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that it might be of grace, by grace. To the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to them also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was yet about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification.